Our next storyteller is Jessica Zielak. Jessica grew up camping and hiking as a kid in upstate New York, but it wasn't until moving to the Pacific Northwest in 2004 that she discovered her love of the mountains. After spending 12 years bagging peaks, backcountry skiing, and backpacking in the North Cascades in British Columbia, she moved to Alaska in 2016 to explore a new playground for adventure. She works for a couple different organizations, the Kenai Mountain Turnagain Arm Heritage Area, as well as Alta Planning and Design, and she's doing a lot of bike and pedestrian stuff here in Anchorage, the update of the non-motorized plan, and lots of cool stuff, which is one of the reasons that I first met her. But back to her story. While she admits that the bugs can be bad in Alaska, her experience on the Bath Lake High Route Traverse prove that the best laid plans can quickly become undone when the insects decide to attack. Please welcome Jessica Zielak.
Great. I'm gonna grab this. I'm from the East Coast, so I talk with my hands and do this a lot. Also, I'm pregnant and forget things and need my notes, so bear with me. So the Bath Lakes High Route, it's a backcountry route in the Glacier National Forest to the North Cascades National Park. No one knows where this is. It's a really just obtuse backcountry trail. And what I want to share with you guys is not so much the story of what happened on our backpack and how beautiful it was and the lakes that we swim and that's all there and you can read about it and I have photos and all, but more or less I want to get to the food that we ate and planned to eat, the drinks that we carefully crafted and had our little Nalgene's, and then how it all just went terribly wrong. My name's Jessica, and I lived in Seattle for 12 years and moved up to Alaska last year, mainly just to have a new playground. I was getting to the point with me and my friends that we were finding the most obscure places that we could find in the North Cascades that no one had been to in the last few years just to get that really rural, rugged, natural experience. And now I live in Girdwood, and I can just walk outside, and there's a moose, and that experience happens right away. But so when I moved to Seattle, though, 12 years ago, I really had no experience backpacking. I had car camped as a kid and, maybe had like one of those huge sleeping bags and had spent the night out someplace kind of far from the car, but never really backpacked. My husband and I fell in with a friend who was from the Midwest, and he hadn't seen mountains either growing up. And so we started really, really small. You know, one year we had a backpack. Like the first annual backpack, we called it, and we spent two nights outside in the wild, and it was crazy, and we fell in love with it. And this year, we just went on our 10th annual backpack. We went to Wrangell-St. Elias National Park. We did a seven-night, eight-day trip with a bush plane, and we've progressed as far as what we do. If anything, we're always carrying our crampons, if not pickets and ropes and harnesses. We've got all the gear. And so as our difficulty in our backpacks increased, so did our number of friends willing to go with us decrease. But our elaborate meal planning just went through the roof. So we figured if we're going out there on these rugged, gnarly hikes, we're going over glaciers, we're setting pickets to cross over crevasses, we should have a signature cocktail when we get to our camp. They're very nice things. We needed the creature comforts. Meanwhile, going light is a big thing, and so we're dropping gear where we can, and like the little foil on the toothpaste thing you're taking off ahead of time. But some of our so just to share with you some of our meals though, signature meals, so chicken and dumplings, things that are non-perishable really was what we started to go big on. So chicken and dumplings with like the canned chicken and bisquick, gnocchi with butter packets and bacon bits, very delicious. Let's see what else. Brought the brats, the pre-cooked brats. But then we got a little more elaborate. We've done hamburgers in the backcountry, like raw meat. We've brought in with like a condiment bar and pickles, and it like people walk by and they're like, "What the? Oh, chicken parmesan, like really fried, like battered chicken and fried it with an egg that we." Brought in, so it's just gotten a little ridiculous with the food. Drinks, some of our favorites, Cadillac margaritas, whiskey gingers, with like cans of ginger ale, Manhattans, and one of the best ones is Whiskey Sours with like a 2 pound lime bat, 2 pounds of limes on like day six. We like this. This is what we do. So like the food was never a question of are we dropping or like the whiskey. We got to have that. So it's year nine. This is the ninth year with the backpack. So this is 2 years ago. We're doing the Bath Lakes High Route. The only route description you're going to find of this is in a 1965 book by Crowder and Tabor. If anyone's ever read this, called Roots and Rocks. So we've got like photocopies of this thing, and we never saw a human footprint. As far as we know, it had been like 3 years since anyone had been out. What's interesting about it is you come, if anyone knows that area, it's kind of like the Mountain Loop Highway, and then you come out onto the PCT, and you're in Stehekin, and there's a bakery with like cinnamon buns and everything. But we hadn't seen people for days, mind you. Like, you're way up there. So we start off on this trip. Here we go. Sorry. So day one, and then we'll get to day two, and so where everything goes wrong. But so day one is just gnarly. So it's like 7,000 feet, 10 miles, only about 4.5 miles is on a trail. So, and it's hot, it's like 90 degrees, and there's some bugs in the parking lot, but not a lot. And we've got full bags going. Like, we've got all our glacier gear, all our climbing stuff, and then tons of food and tons of booze. So we're looking at like 60, 65 pound bags for a 4-night backpack. Like, we're not climbing Denali. We're not doing anything. We're just going on a backpack. But anyway, so we're like ready to go. And I've got, there's three guys and me, and I've got like the heaviest bag. And I'm like, I can totally do this, So our meal for this trip, my meal, ramen with 6 pounds of slow-cooked ginger pork, hard-boiled eggs, scallions, and limes, of course. We also had a foot-long hot dog night. So like the baseball foot-longs with... Like, we had a bag of buns attached to the outside, like next to the crampons, just kind of there with all the condiments and pickles and stuff. Spaghetti and meatball night. You know those pre-made garlic breads that you get with like the weird butter? And like two of those attached. It's like picket garlic bread. And then a good one for the last night, because we didn't want to carry that much. Crispy avocado melt, which is tortillas, avocado, sun-dried tomatoes, Manchego cheese, and potato chips. And you like melt that all up. It's delicious. Drinks, Cadillac margaritas. That's a good one. Orange noon with vanilla vodka. I know we're in a bar or in a restaurant, but like imagine you're in the backcountry. Like, this stuff's delicious. Gin and snonics. So cans of tonic. And you add snow, and it becomes a snonic. Get it? Yeah. That one's mine. And then old fashions, because you need all that fruit. So my bag alone, I had 6 pounds of meat, 4 pounds of liquor, 2 pounds of just accoutrements that would go with the ramen. And that's just for the first night of food. And then all of our other gear and snacks and stuff along the way. So anyways, and now I'm going to tell you this all goes wrong. So it's day one. We do that 7,000 feet, 10 miles. It's a lot of bushwhacking. The bugs just get worse and worse. And I've never seen bugs like this. I've brought a head net on a bunch of backpacks thinking that it would be bad. And then after years, I started to drop it because they're never actually that bad. This was the year not to do that. We had the trifecta of mosquitoes biting black flies and horse flies. And we finally get to our camp, and we're just, it'd been 90 degrees, we're exhausted. We plan for this, but we do a lot of backpacks, but this is the backpack, this is the ninth annual backpack, and it's just going all so wrong. And we have, 4 more days of uncharted territory, side-hilling, before we even get close to safety again. So we're kind of hemming and hawing, and we're like, God, should we just bag it? Like, should we just get out of here and do something else? And we start breaking into the whiskey. And I really played up that, like, I'm the girl and my bag's really heavy, you guys. And I am a little bit slower than the guys. They're like 6 feet tall. So I convinced them that we have to have not only my meal that night, but we also have to have my signature cocktail. And so we get through the night. The bugs, you can't like eat anything without them getting into your face and your nose and all this stuff. And so it's just kind of not what you picture for this trip. And we like go to bed kind of, you know, sad and depressed. And the next day we wake up and we're like, I guess we're going to do it. So we get up and we share like this big tent. It's glorious, you know, the big Agnes tent. You can fit four people in that. But you have to like dive out before the bugs get in. And I'm sitting in the tent with all the soft things, afraid to leave because there's bugs and there's unknown terrain, and I don't want to do it. So my friends are helpful in kind of bringing over the stuff, and I'm like reaching out of the tent and trying to pack, and finally it's like, you got to get out of the tent, you got to go. And so we leave kind of in a rush, and we spend the next day, it gets like slowly better. The bugs start to die down. The side hilling's not as bad as we thought. We get off some of the glaciers, so it's like more kind of tundra rambling. You know, there's really beautiful moments. And we get to camp on the second night, and we unpack our bags, and I don't have the stove. I totally left it. Well, okay, I didn't leave it. I just completely forgot. I get to camp and there's no stove, and we have hot dog night coming, and like this is all the stuff that we have no other food other than like perishable things that need to be heated up. So we do have a jet boil on us, and we're like, okay, this is, and we have like one little canister of fuel. So we're like, okay, we can get through the next three nights, no problem. Jet boils didn't thread through the canister the right way. We had to like bungee cord up this thing. We survived. But I wanted to share with you guys my top seven lessons learned about gourmet eating in the backcountry. So number one is always anticipate bugs. We had a half of a thing of bug spray on us. And they were so bad. That's part of the reason we wanted to bail, was because we had nothing to protect us against the army that was sucking our blood and eating our skin. But always anticipate bugs. Two, really think carefully about who carries essential gear. Not the ice screw or, you know, the rope, but who's got the stove and the water filter, because this will become important. And I have a history of losing things. My friends knew this, yet they gave me the stove. And they never will again. Three is carry backup fire making material. So this was a jet boil. It failed on us. Lighters, flints. Leah Slumman's actually told me a story today about how they've used yak dung in a pinch that did not work either, but you can try. You know how you're going to cook your food, especially if you have raw meat on you. Number four, not everyone can do this one, but bring engineers. So two out of the four were engineers. Yes, you guys are so handy. You're so handy. And especially if you give them a bungee and some rocks and you're like, hot dog night. And here's a cocktail, please fix this. So bring an engineer and bungees. Number five is possibly evaluate your booze. Either go down or go big. You know, if you're not gonna cut, don't cut the booze in your weight. Number six is evaluate your meals. So if you go big on the booze, maybe cut back on, you know, there's freeze-dried, that's lovely. There's easier things. Maybe not every meal has to be gourmet on a really rugged backpack. And then number seven, my last of my seven lessons learned, is that good friends that you play with in the outdoors are invaluable. Good friends that stay your friend after you mess up in the outdoors are even more invaluable. And I'm sure that you. Thank you.